You're listening to Week 3 of the Sports Radio Jax. D-Day has come and gone in the NBA and NHL, and we have the news, analysis, and hopefully, a little less Jimmy Mangos. Let's hit it. Welcome to Sports Radio Jax. Coming up over the next 60 minutes, trade deadlines, Kendrick Perkins, Mike Bibby, John Kuster, Hines Ward, and Charlie Sheen. You can listen to us live at centennialondemand.com/centennial-internet-radio or download the podcast on Centennial Internet Radio. I'm Josh Lewinberg. To my left, Aaron Korolnik.
Hello, everyone. Great to be here.
And to my right, I give you Jimmy Mangos.
Yeah, how you doing?
How's it going, boys?
Great. How you guys doing, dude?
Very well, very well.
A little sick. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather today, so hopefully I can get through the entire show without coughing any fluids up on this fine equipment that we have provided to us here.
Well,
at
Josh,
Centennial.
You look great as usual.
Yes, you do.
I don't believe you for a second, but well, I'll take it.
Well, you know, the flu's going around Centennial these days. I've seen a lot of people a little ill, so hopefully gets rectified soon.
You know, I don't get a lot of compliments like that, and based on what I'm hearing about today's That's What She Said episode, I'm preparing myself to hear some pretty bad things about Josh Lewinberg.
Yeah, we had a little confrontation with the fine ladies of What She Said. Well, maybe not so fine after we hear what they said.
I don't know why. I thought I was very complimentary.
They're just jealous. Come on.
You called them moderately talented, which I think is a pretty fair assessment.
For me, that's a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So last week, just to go down memory lane a little bit, we had a little bit of a Jimmy Mangos-related controversy in that he was maybe a little bit too harsh. We maybe got to see a little bit too much Jimmy Mangos, if that's possible. So I'm being told that he has a little something to say. So I'm just going to cue up a little apology music. If Jimmy, are you ready?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, so let's hear what you got to say.
Well, for a lot of you who tuned in to watch our show last week, Jimmy Mangos got a little excited last week, ranting about saying unheard of pretty bad things about people and couples and all that. But just so you know, I got a little excited. I apologize for what I did, and hopefully there's no hard feelings, and we'll move on from there. I can't promise anything more, though.
Jimmy's ready. Jimmy's got some new moves.
Stop, Jimmy.
Check Jimmy out.
AK, what do you think of the new and improved, the sensitive side of Jimmy Mangos?
You know, I think Jimmy's apology was really heartfelt. I could really see it in his eyes that he really meant what he was saying.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and I really appreciate it on behalf of all the couples out there that were offended by Jimmy Mangos. Yeah, it's good to hear the apology, Jimmy. Thank you.
Good thing I didn't get any, you know, like, bad emails.
No emails to your Centennial College account?
Oh, surprisingly, no. But
I heard you had some trouble falling asleep the last
oh, yeah,
week. Is that true?
I heard one guy try to, you know, burn my house down.
Oh, wow. That's
and he came.
That's a bit harsh, I would think.
Does that happen a lot in Mississauga?
You know, actually, no. But to me, I guess it does. So
interesting. You're a very controversial fellow. So
Yes.
So we go from the admission of guilt from one social figure of sorts to a different type of admission from a different type of social figure, Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
You see this interview the other day, guys?
Yeah, I did.
Saw parts of it, yep.
Parts of it. So maybe we'll show you something new today.
All right.
Basically, we're gonna cue up a little bit of the interview here. Hopefully, it won't go too long, but this maybe will give you a sense of what we're dealing with here when it comes to the mental state, the current mental state of one Charlie Sheen.
Your anger and your hate, I think, is coming off as erratic to people.
Passion. My passion. It's all
okay,
passion.
Okay, your passion is coming off as erratic
right,
to people.
Right, well, you borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard. Yeah, because it fires in a way that is, I don't know, maybe not from this particular terrestrial realm.
I think some of those things that you're putting out there are making people think something's wrong with you.
That has nothing to do with me, really. I mean, they're entitled to, I suppose, interpret stuff as they must.
Some
are you a doctor of?
Some are saying that you're bipolar.
Wow, what does that mean?
I guess that, you know, you're on two ends of the spectrum.
Wow, and then what? What's the cure? Medicine? Make me like them? Not gonna happen. I'm bi winning. I win here and I win there. Now what? If I'm bipolar, aren't there moments where a guy like crashes and like in the corner like, oh my God, it's all my mom's fault? Shut up. Shut up. Stop. Move forward.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. That's a passionate man right there.
Absolutely. Have you guys seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson?
I actually haven't, but well, I hear good things.
Yeah, like his speech bit that maybe Charlie Sheen needs a Nurse Ratched to correct him and get back in his proper ways.
Perhaps he was influenced by that movie.
Yeah, little McMurphy influence, no
or
doubt.
Or perhaps he has no control over what comes out of his mouth.
Yeah, I would certainly think the handlers of Charlie Sheen might want to get a rein in on what's happening with him.
Now, if you're going to take one thing from that interview, which goes on for quite a while, I'm going to say, and I will tell you that during the snippet that we just played, he's actually smoking a cigarette, which adds some pretty hilarious context to the whole situation. But if you're going to take one quote away from the interview, it might be this right here.
You don't worry that you're going to die when you take that many drugs.
Dying's for fools.
Dying's for fools. He's not wrong.
Dying is for fools.
He's not wrong, right?
We'll see about that in 5 years if he's still alive.
I'm going to take the under on that 5 years.
Under in 5 years? I'll take the over 5 years for Charlie Sheen.
Really?
I think he just built up such a repository.
You know he did.
I don't know. I don't know. You didn't have to play the part about the tiger blood. That's a famous Charlie Sheen quote.
Yeah, there's just too much. Like, we only have an hour here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the trending topics on Twitter. We have Charlie Sheen by winning Tiger Blood. Charlie Sheen's just dominating the whole social spectrum of our world these days.
I want to hope that there is some bit of Charlie Sheen that maybe is just doing this for publicity. Maybe he just wants to get himself out there a little bit more. But I don't think he's smart enough to do that. I don't think he's in control enough to do that. I think, like, he's just legitimately gone crazy. Am I wrong? Jimbo?
Absolutely, I agree with you. I mean, the guy has been taking drugs since, it seems like 20 years old. So, I mean, this guy is just ridiculous. He's got all the money in the world, and still, he just doesn't get it. And I don't see him, I really don't see him making it until he's 50 years old.
To justify leaning off a sports program with Charlie Sheen, first of all, I'm just going to say it's awesome, so if you don't like it, tough, but more importantly, if that's not good enough for you, this man was Ricky Vaughn. This man was one of the best, I don't know about best, but one of the most influential pitchers in Cleveland Indians history. Yeah. In a pretty depressing history.
He's no Fausto Carmona, but he's not close.
Certainly not, indeed. So we're going to connect this to sports a little bit. Why not? Can you think of a situation in sports where we've been previewed to a breakdown of this nature?
Well, I was thinking about that last night, and the only thing that really came to mind for me was John Daly, who in the early 90s did win two major championships in golf, but he was also involved in some regrettable incidents as well. He was reported to pushed his wife into a wall while pulling her hair in 1992, and later that year he claimed to drink a fifth of Jack Daniels every day. So clearly John Daly was a little off the wall back in the day, but my personal favorite John Daly story was after missing the cut at the NEC Open in 1993, he got into a fight with a 62-year-old man in the parking lot and was involved in a little lawsuit after that. So if I were to make a connection between the two, between Charlie Sheen and John Daly, I think that's most valid for me.
The 62-year-old man was probably asking for it.
Yeah, I was
realistically.
Think a little Happy Gilmore back there.
Jimmy, anything come to mind?
The one I can think of is, you guys remember Ryan Leaf?
Of course.
First pick overall for the San Diego Chargers. Remember that little incident he had back in the locker room with, I think, one of the writers?
Yeah.
He goes up and says, don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off. Remember that? I don't know if we have a clip for that, but...
Vaguely.
We most certainly do not have a clip for that.
He had a breakdown, and that's what... He was supposed to be one of the greatest quarterbacks.
Who was the number two pick behind? It was Ryan Leaf and
Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
That guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he's okay. I wonder what San Diego's franchise would look like today if they had taken Peyton instead of Ryan Leaf. Probably a little different.
Coming to my mind to a much lesser extent, Stephon Marbury recently went a little crazy. As far as losing their mind, I would definitely reference Starbury a little bit. But we've been previewed to a lot of Dennis Rodman breakdowns in the past. Are you a Celebrity Apprentice fan?
No.
Did you catch Dennis Rodman's brief stint? We'll be talking about reality television a little bit later. But that he got fired. Well, actually, I think he might have quit. He walked off because he was having some drinking issues during a task in which he was actually the project manager. They lost the task.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I don't think Donald takes too kindly to those drinking on the job.
So you mentioned that Charlie was dominating the news for the last couple days, but dominating the news in Canada for whatever reason, because it was brutal.
Yeah.
But the NHL trade deadline has come and gone.
Thank God.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would probably agree with that. I think you're probably saying that for a different reason, though. But we'll get to that in a bit as well.
Well, let me just put something out here. When you wake up 8 in the morning and you have coverage of the NHL deadline, like, Jesus Christ, you got to relax. I mean, when do you ever see a trade 8 in the morning? Never.
Why was Jimmy awake at 8 in the morning? Didn't he miss school that
day? Where were you on Monday,
Jimmy?
I was
feeling sick, so I woke up in the morning so I could write Malcolm the note and tell him I wasn't going to come to class.
I see.
Great initiative.
So I wanted to check out, like, you know, some news, and I saw the TSN panel and the Sportsnet panel at 8 in the morning.
The 35-man panel.
Yeah.
Right. And they had, what, I think, like 10 hours of coverage the whole day? That's insane.
Jimmy, just let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited were you when Radek Dvorak got traded?
I don't even know which team he plays for. So, that should tell you.
Yeah. I think that's the common reaction.
All I know is that I saw Dustin Penner got traded, which was the biggest trade, I guess. Yeah. Moved to the Kings, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
How big of a disappointment was the day on a whole?
It was disappointing, but I think it was to be anticipated. There were a lot of big deals that went down prior to the trade deadline, including the Chris Stewart trade, Thomas Kaberle, Christopher Stieg. So it was to be expected, but nevertheless, I think a lot of the contenders solidified some of the weak parts of their team, while some younger teams trying to get younger, like Florida, Ottawa, got rid of some of their older veteran players in exchange for draft picks and younger players.
For sure. I think a lot of people were remembering what happened a year ago. 31 trades, which was a record last year, in comparison to 16 trades this year. It's just not the same thing. In the context of last year, we were coming off of the Olympic break. For a couple weeks, yeah, there were no trades that were allowed to be made. It was almost like telling a bunch of hungry dogs, you can't eat for 2 weeks, and then unleashing them.
It's a great point.
They were hungry, and let's face it, the general managers in the National Hockey League, kind of like hungry dogs a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a very fair comparison.
With all due respect, yes, to hungry dogs.
Yeah.
But, it was a little bit of a disappointment, but to be expected, I think. So, biggest trade, do we all agree that it was Penner?
Yeah, I think Penner was I would almost argue that Penner was an underrated acquisition. The Kings have been looking for a guy to play in their top six for a while. Actually, interesting stat here. Dustin Penner has 53 goals since the start of the 2009-2010 season, and that ranks 14th amongst all NHL wingers. So,
not bad.
I think Penner's acquisition might be a little underrated.
He's in his prime. Yeah. And they need a player like that. They need a power forward that can score, that they can add to an already talented team, especially on the blue line. So, I mean, they're a threat the West, the very crowded West, but they're a threat.
Also, like, on Zay Kopitar's wing, there's been, like, a revolving door of guys in there have been come in and out, and I think Dustin Penner will certainly give Anze a little stability. Hopefully that'll be able to push his game to the next level.
Do you believe L.A. was the winner of the NHL trade deadline, or are you looking elsewhere?
I think L.A. was certainly a winner, but the winner for me was Washington, who picked up Dennis Wiedemann, who I think is certainly an underrated acquisition. This is a guy who had 50 points 2 seasons ago with Boston and was also a plus 32. So not only is he a good puck mover, he's also very competent in his own zone. Also, they got Jason Arnott from New Jersey in exchange for Steckel in a second rounder. Is that right? I think that's what it was.
Correct.
Arnott will play second-line minutes behind Nicholas Backstrom at center, and I think he's going to really help Washington. He has 106 playoff games to his credit, so I think that's certainly a good pickup for Washington.
I fully agree. Washington, their moves the other day, very under the radar, but like you said, the experience that Arnott brings, the veteran leadership, and this is a team, they have the talent. There's no question about it. Whenever you put Ovi on a team, they're going to be a contender, but they almost need someone to light a fire underneath them, and we've seen Bruce Boudreau light a fire underneath them on national television, might I add.
Many times.
But it helps when you have somebody of Arnott's position as a player on the team in the locker room that's able to step up and do what Boudreau maybe has failed to do a little bit. And I think he's on the hot seat this year. If they don't go, it's not enough to make the playoffs at this point. If they don't go far into the playoffs, he's in some trouble.
Oh, absolutely. I think going into the season, anything less than a Stanley Cup victory for Washington was a huge fail for that team. This is a team that was upset by Montreal in the first round last year. They made some moves at the deadline last year that didn't work out. So hopefully, for George McPhee's sake and for all those Washington fans out there, they can pull it together in time for the playoffs.
And I hate to rub salt in your fantasy wounds, but as we know, Mike Green is out with his injury.
Yeah.
Tom Pody out as well. So the addition of Dennis Weidman might help this team.
Yeah, we saw even last night in Weidman's first game against the Islanders, Weidman led the team in ice time. So I think if Mike Green doesn't get healthy or it doesn't turn his season around somehow, and guys like Pody and Scott Hannon, they got to certainly turn their games around. But the Weidman addition, I think, will be very beneficial to Washington in the long run.
You mentioned the Leafs and the Sens clearing house. What do you think about what went down with those two Canadian teams? Are they in a better spot now that they're on their way to rebuilding for the future?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I still think Ottawa's a ways away from being a playoff contender. They're pretty much, they have Jason Spezza, maybe Bobby Butler, you could toss in, who's been a little bit of a bright spot in recent weeks. But aside from that, they are pretty thin up front and on the defensive end. They still have a guy like Sergei Gonchar, who's getting up there in age, and I think he's one of the worst plus minuses in the NHL, along with Chris Phillips, who they actually just re-signed. But as far as the Leafs go, I think Burke, and it's not often you'll hear me commend Brian Burke, but he has done an excellent job restocking the farm system of the Leafs, getting those first-round picks in exchange for Versteeg, Beauchemin, and who am I missing here? Versteeg, Beauchemin, and...
Cobberley, of course. The most important name of all. John Mitchell,
yeah. I was surprised they were able to get a seventh rounder before maybe 2034 for John Mitchell, but
Sens trade Fisher, Mike Fisher, Mr. Carey Underwood, Chris Kelly, Jarkko Ruotu, Alex Kovalev, and Chris Campoli over the last couple weeks. So both teams are well on their way, I would think.
Ottawa's just a blank slate right now. Jason Spezza on their first line, maybe Bobby Butler too, and Daniel Alfredsson when it returns, but aside from that, maybe Robin Leonard. Ottawa has a lot of flexibility to be rebuilt. It'll be interesting to see how Brian Murray restructures that team.
I ask you this with the knowledge that if you answer incorrectly, you will have a ravenous bunch of Leaf fans come at you with pitchforks and spears and those sticks with fire on them. What are those sticks called? Torches?
Torches. Right.
We'll go with Sounds torches. Good. Who makes the playoffs first? Senators or Leafs?
It's pretty much unfathomable to argue that the Senators have a better foundation than the Leafs do at this point. The Leafs still have Phil Kessel. They have seemingly a goalie of the future in James Reimer. And, you know, they still have Dion Phaneuf and a bunch of other good quality players, MacArthur, Kulam, and Grabowski up front. And a better farm system, I would wager to say. So I'd say hopefully we'll see the Leafs in the playoffs. Maybe if not this year, then next year.
Leafs or Sens, Jimbo?
Well, to be honest, I think both teams will never reach their potential because they both suck. So, but I'm looking at the standings right now. I see Ottawa is dead last. So, and I see the Leafs with 63 points. So, I think the Leafs have a little better, you know, future ahead of them instead of Ottawa. So, I'll go with the Leafs. Why not?
Maybe they make the playoffs this year.
It would take a lot. Have you seen the Leafs schedule in March? Whew, brutal.
Worse than the Portland Trailblazers' schedule?
Maybe I would say on par. The Leafs have to contend with Boston.
We were looking at Portland's schedule earlier. We'll get to that later. Me and Aaron are kind of biased when it comes to Portland these days.
Huge Blazers fans.
All right. So we got a little bit more action towards the end of the NHL trade deadline when some deals started to go down, but overall slow day. And the NBA trade deadline was looking to be a slow day too. Until the deadline hit at 3 p.m., I believe it was, Eastern time.
3 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
And then the deal started rolling in. What was the biggest surprise of deadline day in the NBA?
Well, I hate to be cliche, because this has been said by analysts all around the world. What was that, Jimmy?
You're going
to
go with the New York Knicks?
Was that a surprise?
Well, considering right after the All-Star game, yeah. I mean, I didn't think it would happen that fast.
Yeah, well, I think the Kendrick Perkins deal was certainly very, very interesting to look at for many reasons. I think both Perkins and Jeff Green, who went the other way, are free agents this coming offseason.
Well, one of them not so much anymore.
Yeah, that's something.
Perkins,
sure,
breaking news.
Yeah, he was signed up for a multi-year deal, right?
4 years, $34.8 million extension for Kendrick Perkins in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
and we'll get to that as well. But let's talk about that trade a little bit. Did the Celtics make a huge mistake getting rid of their big men?
So I know we've discussed this before, Josh, and I think the Celtics made a very good move. I know some of their veterans were opposed to the dealing of Perkins, who many view as the enforcer that the Celtics need, but still have a small amount of belief in Jermaine O'Neal and Shaquille O'Neal to return. And supposedly Troy Murphy will be joining Boston any day now, so I'd still say up front they're pretty stacked, so I wouldn't be too worried about that. And I think Green provides a very solid bench scoring option behind Pierce and Allen. So
such an interesting trade, because when you look at it, first thing that I think anyways, I always, whenever I look at a trade, whether reality or fantasy, I want the best player. Best player available, give me the best player, always. This case, Jeff Green is the best player. I don't think he has a lot of talent, both on the offensive side of the floor and defensive side. There's no doubt that he's going to help Boston. But what Kendrick Perkins meant to that team as their defensive anchor in the middle, especially in a conference now with teams like Miami, who are a little soft up front. You have Orlando, who has Dwight Howard, but not much else up front. Amari in New York, not much else. Kendrick Perkins and Garnett up front, that was a scary picture up in Boston. And now, I don't know, like you have a couple of veteran guys that are injury prone. You have Troy Murphy, who, with all due respect, he's a great rebounder. Toughness factor, I don't know if it's certainly not at Kendrick Perkins level.
No. He's only played like 3 or 4 games this year, Murphy. He's barely even played until that back injury. Who knows what's going on with Murphy?
What about Perkins? Perkins is out for the next 4 weeks now as well. So
that's true.
And last year in the finals, they did it without Perkins, right?
Yeah.
Basically, if Garnett or Pierce go down with an injury for the rest of the season or going into the playoffs, this could be a big trade for them, because they have Jeff Green that can step in, that can start for them, that can fill in a role like that of a Pierce or Garnett. But it's hard to imagine a scenario other than a Perkins injury where Oklahoma City doesn't win this trade. I mean, they're looking, they've already cemented their spot as a top four team in the West. But now with a big man like Perkins in the middle, can they compete with the Lakers, Spurs, and Mavs?
Yeah, I think many do think that Perkins could be the missing piece for the Thunder. You know, they in the playoffs, I think right now they're slotted in the fourth seed in the West, so Perkins is going to be a guy who's going to be matched up against a Duncan or a Gasol in the playoffs, and his containment of those big guys is going to go a long way towards the Thunder's playoff hopes.
Jimmy,
I thought the Thunder would be all right with even without Perkins. I thought they still could have beat the Lakers with just Durant and Westbrook playing. But when he comes back, though, I'm going to pick the Thunder as my sleeper to win the Western Conference.
Yeah, I like that one.
Jimmy, you mentioned the contract earlier, the extension for Perkins. We know about his injury history. Are they taking a risk by investing that much?
Well, you're always going to take a risk whenever you get a player, but he's still a young guy. He's only, 26 years old, something like that. So you just have to wait and see. You never know until you see what he does on the floor. So for now, I think it's a good trade. We'll just have to wait and see until playoff time and see what he brings.
This isn't max money for Perkins. I mean, this contract is on par with the likes of Marcin Gortat.
Yeah,
so
it's a fair comparison.
Exactly. What Perkins means to, what he meant to the Celtics, what he means now to the Thunder, it's a valuable piece for sure.
I'd rather have Amir Johnson or Kendrick Perkins start a franchise.
Perkins.
I don't know.
Perkins.
I like Amir. The 7 blocks last night.
Amir's still got upside. He's still got a ceiling that I think Perkins doesn't have, at least offensively.
Yeah,
but
I would agree.
What Perkins brings when he is healthy, when he is motivated, it's scary. He is a scary man to go up against in the paint.
Yeah, remember what he said last season? If he was playing in that series against the Lakers, they would have won the championship.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, but nonetheless,
going by Perkins, that's what he said. So
the deal of note going into the trade deadline was Amari Stoudemire. We've already seen 4 games Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Carmelo. Amari.
Same thing. What, 25 points a game, New York Knicks.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Close enough now. Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo together in New York. We've seen 4 games of it. What do you think so far?
I mean, the Knicks are looking pretty good, but
they're 2-2.
Yeah, that's true.
But one of their losses came against the Cavs, too, so that kind of looks, they just look inconsistent right now. It's only been 4 games, but you beat the Bucks, you lose to the Cavs, get a big win in Miami, and then they lose last night to the Magic. So I don't know. It's up in the air right now.
Yeah, a guy we didn't mention last week when we were discussing the trade deadline, or this trade, was Chauncey Billups. And this guy has looked really, really good in his short time with the Knicks. He's averaging 21-6 in his short time with them.
You see that big three he hit against Miami the other night?
Absolutely. And also last night against Magic, the guy had 20 free throw attempts. So if Chauncey's getting to the line, we know he's an amazing free throw shooter. He has been for years.
They can't play defense, though. They're screwed.
Yeah, I know.
If you can't play defense, especially in the playoffs, you're going nowhere.
Yeah, if they run into a Miami or Boston in the first round, or a Chicago, they could have some serious issues containing those boys.
Defensively, they're going to have issues. Even though they looked good against Miami the other day, they did not look good defensively against Orlando, especially in the fourth quarter yesterday. But I think they might be a little bit underrated defensively at this point, because we saw them get up for the big game against Miami. They have some pieces with Turiaf and with Landry Fields where you have guys that can cover the big players, the Boozers. I have Amari Garnett in my head today for some
Amari's
reason.
He's
all over
thoughts.
The place. So I think they're a little bit underrated defensively. A little bit underrated. But I think they're a little bit overrated offensively. I think a lot of people are expecting them to come out and drop 120 spots every night. And it's tough when you have a team with two great players. Like we said, Billups is going to be key for them, and he's been great so far. But aside from those three, you don't have much depth here.
No, it's very true. But, you know, when you have prolific scorers like Melo and Amari and Billups playing in Mike D'Antoni's up-tempo system, you'd expect at least 105, 110 points a game, which they have been providing for the most part. But as you said, they might need that secondary option. A guy like Landry Fields needs to pitch in a little more, but he's not really getting the ball too much anyway.
I think they're going to have problems guarding a big guy like, you know, Dwight Howard. He had his way with them last night. He just destroyed them. Guys like Boozer and Noah, big guys that they can match up against. I just don't see them playing against teams who have one of the greatest centers in games, like a Howard or Noah or Boozer and Garnett or whatever. So if they can't play defense, like I said, they won't go too far.
Do you think the Knicks could take out Boston or Miami, Chicago, Orlando?
I think
the playoffs
might give them a run for their money, but I just don't see them in a seven-game series, especially. I don't see them
winning the series. I do think that they need that interior post presence that
they're just too inconsistent in my eyes.
I do think the trade has put them over the likes of Orlando and Atlanta in the East. I still don't think that they can compete with a Miami, a Boston, a Chicago in the playoffs. We saw them hand it to Miami the other day, but it's a different story come playoff time, and we know that.
Yeah.
They know that.
I cannot wait for the playoffs. It's going to be great, great matchups in the East this year.
First round right now, Knicks and Bulls, if the playoffs started today.
Ooh, you got the Knicks? You like the Knicks in that series, Jimmy?
There's no question that I like the Bulls. Six games.
So the Knicks were the headliner getting Melo on the trade deadline, or before the trade deadline. Were they the winner of the trade deadline, or...
Yeah, I think anytime you pick up guys like Billups and Carmelo Anthony, you have to be considered the winner. That's an immense amount of talent.
What about the New Jersey Nets?
Oh, that's also a good
franchise player now, Deron Williams.
Certainly doesn't hurt to acquire one of the best players at the most important position.
They have a bright future right now. Him and, Robin Lopez? Or Brook Lopez.
Brook Lopez.
If they add another piece or two, New Jersey Nets are going to be a pretty strong force in the
East. And I will say this about the New Jersey Nets. If there is any conceivable way possible that this team can go out there and attract talent to New Jersey, Prokhorov and Jay-Z will find a way to do it. These are powerful men that are now very, very committed to surrounding Deron Williams with talent before he has the chance to bolt from New Jersey. So I don't know. I think we might see a competitive team.
Do you see the Nets at least making the playoffs next season?
Next season, maybe.
Who are they going to add, though?
I think if they add one big guy in that team, they're going to be really dangerous. Who's a free agent this season?
I think there's pretty slim pickings in that respect.
Yeah, the 2010 free agent class really stole headlines there. I don't know if there's anything left this year.
Well, maybe they'll make a trade and maybe get Millsap to come as well.
Oh, Millsap, my boy, Paul. I hear Jay-Z's offering a guest spot to the first marquee free agent that comes to New Jersey on his next single, so that could be a pretty enticing factor.
my trade deadline winner, not either of those teams, but my new favorite team, the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah.
Gerald Wallace, they fetch from Charlotte for a modest price, I think is fair to say. Joel Prisbillo, with all due respect, the draft picks are huge. But you're getting a former All-Star, a very athletic swingman to add to a team that is already very good defensively. They've got a point guard that's good at getting everybody involved. You got Brandon Roy now coming off the bench. LaMarcus Aldridge is having a career year. Is this a team to watch in the West?
Well, let me preface this by saying Josh and I have both bet on the Portland Trailblazers to win the NBA championship at 101-1. Actually, the odds now are 67-1.
Have so you we guys gotten mad or something?
Oh, it's great value, Jimmy.
Value, Jimbo.
Value is the game. But I think all the pieces are there for Portland to make a significant run, especially if they see a team like Dallas or San Antonio, who have been a little sketchy these days, especially in lieu of Tony Parker's injury. So, Portland, big sleeper. Let's go, Portland.
To say
Portland might not even make the playoffs, guys.
That's true. True. Tough schedule.
Phoenix, who's in ninth right now, they are only one game behind the Blazers.
And if you check the Trailblazers schedule in March and April, it is vicious. Some very, very tough road games and a lot of back-to-backs as well.
Definitely a sleeper team, though, in the West. And to say that they're a contender at this point, I don't know. But they've got a lot of talent, and they've got a lot of diverse talent, a lot of guys that are good at a lot of different things. And I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on them for more than one reason.
Yeah, that's for sure. I now have the sports pack for one singular reason, that's to support the Portland Trailblazers.
Following the trade deadline, the news that is now occupying the NBA is the waiver wire pickups. And we just saw Troy Murphy reportedly going to Boston. We have Mike Bibby reportedly signing with Miami. And just to keep things interesting here, we'll throw Al Thornton in Golden State into the mix.
Ooh, big trade.
Hope he doesn't ruin Darrell Wright's fantasy value.
Ooh, that would be tragic.
Yes.
Which addition is bigger in your mind, the Bibby to Miami or the Murphy to Boston?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on the health of Troy Murphy, because if this is a guy who comes correct with his health, this is a difference maker for Boston, especially in lieu of Kendrick Perkins being shipped out. But then again, Bibby, Miami's had a little bit of a black hole at point guard this year with Arroyo and Mario Chalmers, so Bibby comes in there and can hit some threes and make some smart plays, he can make the difference for Miami.
I agree with Aaron. I think now they have a guy who can take the rock and dribble up past half court. So I think Mike Bibby will be a pretty decent acquisition for the Heat. But I don't know. I think none of the moves are really that great, to be honest. So, but if I had to choose, I'd pick Miami just because Bibby, when he played with the Hawks last season, he had a great presence with them as well. So
the veteran presence with the Heat will be key. And Bibby is what he is at this point in his career. I mean, is he better than Carlos Arroyo and Mario Chalmers? Probably. At least he's still a pretty good shot. He's still going to knock down open jumpers for a team that will provide him with enough open jumpers. Oh, yeah. He's got to knock down that shot. He's got to be solid. He's got to limit mistakes. But, yeah, I think the Bibby move is key for Miami.
And he's not that old either. He's only 33 years old.
So I still remember him in his head. Oh, yes, finally.
Well, it's that time.
Already? Damn.
Of the show again.
My favorite time of the week.
I got to be careful this time, I guess, huh?
A little bit. And to give some background on the situation, previously on the Mangos Minute.
Uh-oh.
That's pretty much the gist of it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
Not bad at all.
Moving on from last week. This week we got a little bit of a theme for you, Jimbo. We just talked about Mike Bibby, and he was actually bought out from the Washington Wizards after being traded there for Kirk Heinrich. And in the process, he gave up $6.5 million of his salary for next season to be bought out. So my question to you for the Mangos Minute, Jimmy, is what would you give up, or what would you give $6.5 million up for? Or to get out of, let's say.
All right, let's see here. It's a pretty interesting question. Well, I'd say if I was in prison for whatever reason, I'd pay $6.5 million to get out of there. I don't want to be stuck with a bunch of, you know, lunatics taking, especially when you're in the shower and drop the soap. Oof. I'll probably be that one of the type of guys who's like a fresh fish or something like that. So definitely, I want to get a out of jail free card for that. Maybe traffic. Who likes traffic, really? If I could avoid traffic for the rest of my life, I would give away $6.5 million. Maybe this country because of the cold. Too cold of a winter. I would love to get out of this winter and maybe live in Miami or Florida, whatever it is. So, yeah, I would pay $6.5 million for that. And also maybe, who knows, maybe Jim Taddy's class. I don't know if I should have brought that up.
Blink 182. I haven't heard that song in years.
1999. Remember?
Sorry, what was that, Jabo?
It reminds me of like we're back in 1999 again.
Yeah, exactly. Good times.
Flashback. Offspring.
You guys listen to those songs in Mississauga?
What do you think we are?
I don't know what goes on. I just know I know what goes on in Thornhill.
We have an open mind. We listen to everything.
It's a foreign country they've got over there.
It's a big city. You know it's third biggest city in Canada, right?
Mississauga.
Yeah. Look it up. It is.
We're going to have to fact check that. We'll talk about that next week.
I'll tell you.
Yep. Toronto, Montreal.
Mississauga.
More so than Vancouver.
What's bigger than Mississauga?
Vancouver?
Look it up.
Edmonton? Calgary?
Population-wise as well. Almost 2 million people.
How about Quebec City?
Well, I tell you, do your research.
Well, that concludes our geography segment for today. Where I was going with that song is, "Say it ain't so, I will not go." And those words were said, well, I don't know if they were said, but they were implied by the Detroit Pistons players, or at least a few of them. Who do we got here? We got Tracy McGrady, Richard Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Chris Wilcox, all missing practice on Friday for an apparent player's protest that's in response to the coach, John Kuster, and the system that he's got in place there in Detroit, which there hasn't been a lot of positive feedback about this year, I would say, to say the least. So a little bit of background there. Only six players, played for the Pistons on Friday when they fell 110-94 to the Sixers. Of those six players, those players accounted for 45% of the team's payroll. So you got some big names that were sat that night in the loss to the Sixers. Kuster ends up getting ejected from that game because he went off a little bit at the officials, probably a little frustrated from what went on early in the day, so taking a little bit of anger management there out at the officials. He gets ejected. McGrady is seen on the bench laughing at his coach. Then Joe Dumars comes out and says he's not buying out Richard Hamilton, who had his issues with Kuster previously this season. He says he's 100% behind his head coach, so he's not making any moves. He's staying pat. Then Hamilton and Kuster have a closed-door meeting yesterday, apparently work everything out. And Hamilton, who had played only once since January 10th, suits up yesterday. He has 10 points, just in case you were wondering. Yeah. What a mess.
Yeah, it's pretty intense mess there in the Motor City. But you know, I understand there's a divide between those players that we mentioned and their coach. But you know, guys like McGrady, Hamilton, Prince, and Chris Wilcox, another guy who was part of the protest, make a combined $28 million this season. $28 million. You know, as much as I'd like to applaud them for taking a stand for what they believe in against their coach or whatever like that, like you gotta at least attempt to earn your salaries when you're making that much money. Play the game, play out the season. It's a pretty good likelihood that guys like McGrady and Hamilton are gone at the end of the season anyways. Play out the string, collect your dollars, and at least collect your dollars properly. I'm pretty amazed that this would go
on. Listen, Detroit's 20 games under 500. They have nothing to lose at this point. You just dump everybody, whoever you have, just release them or trade them and fire the coach and start fresh again. They have nothing to lose.
Don't you have to applaud?
Just talk about practice. We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
That, of course, was former Piston.
Classic.
Allen Iverson. So, what's the big deal with practice? Like, just don't go.
When you're 20 games under 500, you could use all the practice you can get. But, yeah, it's been a very disjointed season for Detroit as a whole. And I don't think you really have much of a choice but to just either clean house or hire a coach that
Definitely
the players can get along
house.
With.
You have to clean house at this point. You got nothing to lose, like I said before. They're already last place anyway, so.
The bottom line is something has to be done here. I mean, this is almost unprecedented that we have almost an entire team just going up against the coaching staff in Detroit. And listen, I'm not in a position to say what the right thing to do here is. Do you side with the players? Do you side with the coach? I'm not one to point fingers here. I can't, but you have to do something. It's certainly not the right decision to make no decision and to sit on the fence like Joe Dumars is and say, all right, no buyouts, no firings. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that some of the dominoes will fall over the offseason.
Well, maybe he has a strategy here. Maybe he wants to finish last, get a good pick, first overall pick, get a franchise player, work around him, dump all the players he has now, fire the coach, and start new. And that's all it takes.
Yeah,
one good player.
I have a few pieces in place, Detroit does, but
whenever you have McGrady in your team, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Guy's a cancer. He's done. He's washed up. He should retire.
He's having a pretty good year for a guy with all those knee surgeries.
I'm going to make a statement here. Tell me if you agree or disagree, if I'm completely crazy here. But I would rather be any other franchise in the NBA than the Detroit Pistons right now.
Wait a minute. Even Cleveland?
Oof.
Ooh, that actually is a close one.
I didn't even think of Cleveland.
Yeah. Cleveland would be the only team that I think might be in a worse situation, especially now taking on Baron Davis's lengthy contract. You got Baron and Jameson eating up the books for quite some time there in Cleveland.
Right now is a WNBA team. There's no way they should be in the NBA right now.
How much weight is Baron Davis going to gain in Cleveland?
I've heard he's already gained 40 pounds, but I bet you if Sue Bird decided to suit up for the Cavaliers, she could probably get at least 30 minutes. Samardo Samuels is getting starting power forward minutes these days.
Wow.
So big mess in Cleveland. But in terms of your question, Josh, Detroit, they do have a few pieces in place. Greg Monroe, Georgetown product, has looked pretty damn good this year so far. They have Rodney Stuckey, who's still a young piece. But then again, they have guys locked into long-term deals. Guys like Charlie Villanueva, Ben Gordon. I don't know if these guys are really players you want to build your team around.
Nope.
But Cleveland,
especially not Ben Gordon.
Yeah. Cleveland has a pretty open slate. J.J. Hickson, I think, is a very solid building block. And aside from that, they're pretty much an open slate, much like the Ottawa Senators. So there's a lot of room to maneuver for Cleveland management.
It's so sad when we're evaluating these franchises that we need to cite J.J. Hickson and Greg Monroe as the future hope, the possibility of these teams, these once great teams in the East, regaining their competitiveness in the conference.
It wasn't long ago. It wasn't long ago. Detroit and Cleveland were both at the top of the East.
Consistently.
You had some good series back then, too.
Yeah.
04, 03.
Good times. Good times in those cities.
I don't know. I don't know what needs to be done with that team.
It's certainly going to be interesting to see how the management is able to recover. They have both of those teams are going to have some cap space to work with. I know Cleveland has two first-round picks their own and the LA Clippers' first-round pick, which would likely be a top-10 selection. So, but in a weak draft, I don't know how much you can really improve your team with those picks.
Now, you mentioned draft. Now, the NFL draft is coming up, if I'm not mistaken, and he may not be number one pick in said draft, but he's certainly going to be somebody that everyone's keeping an eye on. Cam Newton has been bumped up a little bit on the Yahoo mock draft that came out the other day. They now say that Cam might go number three.
I don't think
so. At three to the Buffalo Bills.
Have you seen his combine? He was 11 for 21. He couldn't hit a receiver, for God's sakes. The guy has no accuracy at all. If you're going to the NFL as a quarterback and you don't have an accuracy, I'm sorry, but you're not going to have a good career.
So, Jimmy, I ask you, what's caused Newton to move up these draft boards recently? Is it the result of the fact that this may be a bit of a weak draft?
I think it's also it is a weak draft. There's also a lot of teams that are in need of a quarterback desperately, and like the Bills, the Vikings, you got the Browns and Bengals, whoever, the Niners, Arizona, all those teams need a quarterback. So and the quarterback class this year is not that great. I mean, the only guy that comes to mind that is ready to start as a quarterback in the NFL is Jake Locker, and we all know Jake Locker. I'm talking about NFL ready.
How about Blaine Gabbert? Highly touted quarterback.
He still has question marks because he's still a young guy. He's supposed to play another year in college, but he's not NFL ready quite yet. But I would take a gamble on Gabbert.
Yeah, I think with Newton, the real measuring stick for Newton will be at Auburn's pro day on March 8th. But that being said, I think in terms of pure potential, Newton's skills are off the charts. This is a guy who had a broad jump of 10 feet, 6 inches. And you compare that to a guy like Tim Tebow, who's also regarded as a very athletic quarterback, who had just 9 feet, 7 inches. Vince Young, 9 feet, 8 inches. It's pretty clear that Cam Newton is a physical specimen.
When you have to rely on your legs to be a quarterback, if you're not Michael Vick, I'm sorry, but you don't have a future in the NFL.
So, Jimmy, should Cam Newton be sending Andrew Luck a fruit basket in the mail?
I don't know about that, but it might be a...
Remember, we're talking top quarterback in the draft now, potentially.
Remember Jamarcus Russell? What happened there?
Exactly. Well, I believe he was addicted to purple drink, and now he's 400 pounds.
Listen,
and cleaning toilets. No?
Buffalo will not draft Cam Newton, especially Ralph Wilson. Look at his history of drafting players. I'm not to be racist or anything, but Ralph Wilson will never get a black quarterback.
Yeah.
Simple as that. They have more problems in Buffalo anyways. They need a defensive end. They need a linebacker. They need receivers, running, whatever.
I agree completely. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's a very good placeholder for quarterback until they can find a quarterback of the future in Buffalo. But you know, I just think Newton's potential is going to really draw some teams, and I wouldn't be surprised.
He will go top 10.
I think he's going to go first.
First overall.
I think Newton will go first.
To the Carolina Panthers?
Have you seen Jimmy Clausen? He is... I know he shares your name, but this man is a terrible quarterback.
Yeah, but Jimmy Clausen was a second-round pick last season.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
He had a lot of... You can't put all that pressure on a kid like that, especially on a bad team. You still have to give him another chance.
I know a couple weeks ago, Centennial Sports Journalism Coordinator Malcolm Kelly made a controversial statement that you took issue to, Aaron. He said that Cam Newton might not be drafted in the first round. And you believed that he might go...
As high as one.
Did he really say that?
He did say that. So Yahoo Mock Draft has him at number 3. Do you think there's a chance he could go 2 or 1?
Absolutely. I think a lot of it depends on the interviews. As we know, Cam Newton has a lot of character concerns, whether it be his recent statement calling himself an entertainer and an icon, which is a little disconcerting if I'm a team looking to draft a quarterback who's straight out of college. And also we know about his father, Cecil, who supposedly solicited some money from other universities in hopes that they could get Cam to play for their school. So there's off-the-field concerns with Newton, but on the field, I don't think anyone can really question what this guy's done in college, and his physical skills are pretty much, bar none, the best available in the draft, and that's going to be enticing to a lot of teams.
No one can question what Cam is able to do with his feet. But what I question is what Hines Ward is able to do with his feet. And we will soon see, because Hines Ward of the Pittsburgh Steelers will be competing on the upcoming season of Dancing with the Stars. Just a little bit of context into a show in which I have never even seen for a minute.
No.
The NFL has been represented quite well in the reality television show. We've seen Emmitt Smith, Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin, Warren Sapp, Chad Ochocinco, currently Chad Johnson, Jason Taylor, Kurt Warner, and Lawrence Taylor compete on the program. And the NFL players have done pretty well. You have Sapp, Rice, and Jason Taylor all finishing second. And Emmitt Smith won the competition in 2006. So my question to you, AK, how will Hines Ward do?
Well, Hines never been the most fleet of foot wide receiver in the league, but you know, I think he certainly has the strength and also the mental skills. Hines Ward is a very smart guy, has been for many years for the Steelers. I think he'll do very well in Dancing
with
the Stars.
He's going to throw some broad across the stage.
Yeah.
Right into the judges.
Yeah.
Is he going to cry again too, like he did a couple years ago when he lost the NFC Championship game?
Oh.
Sorry, AFC Championship game?
Is there a little Vikings Hines Ward?
No, a little gem.
I don't mind the Pittsburgh Steelers. I actually was rooting for the Steelers.
I believe we made a small wager on the Super Bowl this year. I thought you were a Steelers fan.
$50, right? Yeah.
What's 50 bones?
Yeah, that's $50 exactly.
Other competitors in the upcoming season of Dancing with the Stars, Hines's competition, include Sugar Ray Leonard, Christy Alley, who I thought was 300 pounds, but
400, 500 pounds.
I don't
know. She's not going to last. She's a beast.
Apparently she's a dancer now. She'll apparently she's an artiste.
She'll be gone in the first round.
Chris Jericho and other stars I've never heard of. So
I think Sugar Ray Leonard's going to win just because he's a boxer and it's all feet work and boxing. Maybe. So he's still old, though. But
you going to be watching Dancing with the Stars,
No,
Jay?
I won't, but I like to make predictions. I can make a bet if you want.
Do you
want to
bet $50 on Hines Ward?
Wait a minute. Who do you have?
Well, I'm obviously against Titans Ward. I'm not gonna
Kirstie Alley.
I'm not gonna switch allegiances. Oh yeah, Kirstie Alley all over the place.
Kirstie or Christy Alley?
Who cares?
Yeah, Kirstie. It's good point. Who cares?
She used to be pretty decent back in Cheers. Remember that show, Cheers?
Yeah, I see the reruns on at 4 o'clock in the morning some nights.
I was about 25 years old, but she looked pretty decent back then.
Where does everybody know your name, Jimbo? Do you have a bar where everyone knows your name?
I don't think I should share that.
We don't want to know what Jimmy Mangos does in his off hours, right?
Our listeners will just stalk the bar out where Jimmy Mangos attends, and it will be a little uncomfortable for Jimmy, I guess.
So last week we played a little game. I call it Ach Yeah, or Niche Niche, and it went over pretty well, I would say.
It's pretty fun, actually.
So we're going to send it right back over to Sacha Baron Cohen to explain to us once again how this game will work.
So let's go through some things that will be okay and not okay. If they're okay, just say, ach ja. If they're not okay, say, that's a nish nish.
Fair enough.
Gotcha.
All right, so let's have some fun here. Watching the Oscars instead of the Knicks Heat game.
You gotta be crazy.
Jimmy Mangos.
That's a...
ach ja or nish nish.
It's a hell nish nish.
AK, watching the Oscars instead of the basketball game.
So I think this might be a little slight jab at me, as I did watch the Oscars over the Knicks Heat. But
are you kidding me? Did you watch that game?
He had money on it, to be fair. So
I had Annette Bening at 7-1, which was very disappointing.
That was
Natalie
a great
Portman.
Game you missed.
Yeah, I forgot to PVR it as well. I do regret not watching the Knicks Heat, but you know, yeah, Oscars are a very, very culturally relevant thing and something that should be watched.
Skipping practice. Jimmy Mangos. Ach yeah, or nish nish.
That's a definite nish nish. I mean, you set a bad example to the other players on the team. So if you can't show up to practice, then other players will think that they shouldn't be at practice either. So nish nish.
AK?
Couldn't agree more, Jimmy. You're spot on.
You're so sweet.
Athletes who are not retired competing on the fine program Dancing with the Stars.
I don't think there's a problem with that. I mean, he's not doing anything wrong. He's just dancing. So I'm going to say ach yeah.
If I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I'm a little concerned about Hines Ward's durability.
He's just dancing. Come on.
Yeah, dance. It gets pretty intense on Dancing with the Stars. He might pull a groin, a hamstring. It's a little dangerous.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with a lot of these dance moves that he may have to pull off in order to win the favor of the judges. But what happens if he, I don't know, through some of the twirls that I believe he will be doing throughout the process, what happens if he pulls something?
What is he, made it out of glass or something? Come on, he'll be fine.
Maybe. Well, we'll have to tune in to see.
But the moral of the story is even the toughest guys love to dance.
Indeed.
Tweeting false deadline trades by impersonating reporters on Twitter. Which we saw the other day in the NHL trade deadline. We have a whole bunch of fakes. What was it?
Dustin Penner's trade.
Yeah.
We had Peter Chisap, as a classmate of ours, was placing his order for a Dustin Penner Montreal jersey, and
really?
He had to cancel it after hearing it was from a fake Twitter account.
Didn't even know that.
Impersonating reporters on Twitter. Ach ja or nish nish?
Well, if you can't get sued, then I'd say ach ja, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that situation. I mean, I'd say nish nish. Just to be safe.
Yeah. If there's no rule against it, then...
I wonder if we'll see a libel suit in the coming weeks from those impersonating Nick Kyprios or Bob McKenzie.
Maybe. Yeah. And finally, the impending Twitter addiction of one Joshua Craig.
Oh.
This man is addicted. Like,
We need to help him.
Yeah, he's at Bruce Arthur levels of tweeting at this point. I'm a little concerned for his well-being.
It's not healthy to be on Twitter that much. I mean,
does the man have Facebook yet or no?
Still no Facebook, but
he has Twitter.
Classmate Josh Craig has recently subscribed to Twitter because of the trade deadline. Yeah. I guess that's what pushed him over the edge, and it seems like he's loving it. So, Josh Craig all over Twitter these days. Achia or Nishnish, Jimmy?
Well, it's his business, so I want to say yeah. I mean, whatever makes him happy, I guess.
I'm going to say niche. I think Josh Craig needs to stick to his principles. He's anti-Facebook, anti-Twitter. That's how he rolls. But I guess that might be changing. So, you know, Josh, do what makes you happy. That's my only advice.
And we'll end on that note. A little bit of housekeeping for the upcoming weeks. We are off next week, so you're going to have to get your sports fix elsewhere. In a couple weeks, we have a AL preview coming up for Major League Baseball season. So a half hour of the
Jays are 0-4 right now, right? Is that
the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I think so.
Forget about spring training.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's
an interesting fact.
We'll reference the spring action a little bit in a couple weeks. We'll talk about the Jays. We'll break down the AL for a half hour. And then the following, so 3 weeks from now, we'll take a look at the NL. And maybe we'll have some special guests on the program. And we'll really break things down for you.
Big things coming up for the Sports Radio Jackson coming weeks.
Any special guests?
Well, that's a surprise, Jimbo. You're going to have to tune in to see.
I've emailed Gus Mangos to come in and make an appearance. Hopefully he can come in. That'd be great.
I don't know if I can handle that.
Two mangoes? Wow.
That's a little bit too much.
These are different kind of mangoes, though.
A different kind of mangoes.
In what way?
Well, if you were to look at us, you wouldn't think we were brothers. He's more of a serious type of guy. Or I'm the more of the idiot type of guy.
Don't sell yourself short, Jim.
You heard it here first. That's all for today, folks. Tune in a couple weeks for more Sports Radio Jacks.